back in the saddle again.
Yay.
So happy you're back, just like old times. Good stuff there. And just for you, I've racked up a forecast that...
Oh, thank you for that.
That'll make your leg feel better while you're hobbling around our community. 40 downtown at WGCL. See that large star over there heating up the entire mm-hmm. solar system? That's good. 60 today, 61 on Friday, 65 on Saturday, 66 on Sunday. Sure, there's a chance of rain tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. But the lowest low temperature, Keith, will be tonight, 46 in the next 4 days. Just to put that in perspective, the average high this time of year is 42. The record high on this day is 67. We might not get there today, but Saturday and Sunday might be a little different. We'll see how the rain moves through. It got up to 58 yesterday. Yesterday's low was the average high, 42. So the excuses on getting Christmas lights up, getting shopping done, Hanukkah festivities, yeah, it's hey. All... There isn't any. And this is, I guess this is what the rest of the world feels like, maybe in the southeast or the south or the southwest this time of year. I know it's probably a little warmer, but when you're not worried about if school's going to be closed, if you've got a shovel, or if there's going to be ice and the power lines go down and all this other stuff.
Okay, but
so I'm just saying, if this is what it's like, I'm okay with that.
But let me ask you, this is the real question for Mike Glascott. Is the kiddie pool still in your backyard?
I'm not sure where that thing blew away to.
Well, I mean, with this kind of temperature, this is almost tropical.
You can put your feet in it.
Oh, okay.
That's right. I don't have the heat. I didn't buy the version with the heater, Keith.
Oh, okay.
I just have the plastic shell there. But I think that's probably somewhere in the neighborhood after the last wind episode. If you see it, just go ahead and bring it back. We'll take it off your hands. Updated forecast, live radar, find it all at WGCLradio.com. And while you're at WGCLradio.com, we encourage you to shop local this holiday season. Click on the big box that says enter here. And you could win a $50 gift card from one of the following businesses. Technology powered by Smithville, Vance Music Center, Hoosier Workwear Outlet, etc. for the home, Carol's Unfinished Furniture, Aqua Pro Pool and Spa. You have until Sunday, December 13th, to register at WGCLradio.com. All the contest rules and details are there as well. Holiday shopping, do it locally. Smiles are brighter. Holidays feel a little warmer. They are plenty warm. So you don't have an excuse not to get out and park. Don't forget, there is no parking meters on Saturdays until the new year. Again, we're eliminating hurdles. And Keith, while you're there, entering to win a $50 gift card from one of those businesses, you could also win, because you'll be automatically entered, to win a $500 Visa gift card. All you do is go to WGCLradio.com. All you do is fill out the online form, which takes all of 3 seconds, just depending on how fast you type. And you could be a winner. Again, we'll wrap up the online, that's the only place you can do it, registration on Sunday. We'll draw the winner Monday afternoon and announce it Tuesday morning. How about that? All right. Again, it's a do-it-yourself job. I can't register for you. You have mm-hmm. to do that yourself. Carpets Plus Color Tile for a limited time has a select group of beautiful, soft, luxurious, colorful carpets on sale at beautiful prices. No interest until 2017. Karastan Carpets from Carpets Plus Color Tile. All right. Here it is on a Thursday morning, and the band is back together. It's been some time. We've had the Jenny Vaughn reunion. Now we have the Sue Wanza reunion. Look, Keith's back.
Hey, yay, Keith is back. Keith was at the school board meeting on Tuesday.
There you go. You didn't have to Skype him in. He was there in all of his Walker glory, but that's good because that means he's out and about, and Keith and Sue
right.
both serve on the MCCSE school board and join us to talk local education issues on Thursday morning. Sue and I have been trying to fly the flag and carry. And there's been plenty to talk about, which has been a good thing as well. And the conversation we had a couple few weeks ago about, are we going to change the timing of the school day? Well, that's gathered some steam, and you had some thoughts on your work session on Tuesday. Tell us what we might have missed if we didn't see the newspaper the last couple of days or were at the meeting.
Well, we did have a work session, which, of course, was open to the public, and we had a panel of staff who presented to us 10 different scenarios for changing the length of day and or the start and or finish times of school. So we were just looking at adjusting our school day schedule. And so these folks have been working on this for a while. You know, there are a few things that we have to take into consideration. First of all, is transportation. If we didn't have to transport people.
Sure. And before we get into all these details,
let's
talk about who has been putting these things together. Is this something that you commissioned?
The term you hear is circadian rhythms.
Stop. Jeez, I know we haven't done radio in a while, but stop. We all have to listen to each other. Who commissioned these 10 studies? Who came up with these 10 ideas? Did you ask people to do this? Did people do this on their own volition? We'll get to the why here in a minute. Who is doing this?
The superintendent asked three of her cabinet folks to put this together. It's Chris Scioli, who is our director of facilities operations, Jan Bergeson, our director of secondary curriculum, and Tim Pritchett, our public information officer. So they're the ones who sat down because in Chris's area falls transportation. In Jan's area falls all the curricular stuff. So the three of them sat together and figured out a proposal. Now this is just to start the conversation. We're not finishing this next month. This is just the very beginning. So this was to start the discussion, and they came up with the 10 scenarios after listening to the community saying that they wanted a later secondary start, they wanted to shorten the elementary school, and we wanted to create more efficient bus routes.
So the board and the superintendent heard the concerns of the community and then put together a plan how to develop it. I just wanted to make sure people didn't get the impression that somebody ran in, pounded their fist on the desk, and all of a sudden there was action demanded and taken. There kind of was, but no, this is an organized event to make things go. Okay, now back to Keith's point and your point. Number one issue is always going to be transportation. Right. We get that. Why? Right. Because buses are finite. We have sat here for the last 4 years on this program and begged people, if they wanted a job, to sign up to be a bus driver. So I'm not asking you to solve this problem right now, but we are pointing out the things that have to be taken into consideration. So transportation is number one. We heard it's $90,000 to $100,000 for a new bus, bus routes and all that. That's always going to be a sticking point because of the money. I'm not even going to get into referendum and how that would fit in just yet. But the other thing that you have to talk about that we always talk about on this program is what is legal in the state of Indiana. People want smaller calendars. You have to go 180 days. What is the legal time that you must spend in class, Sue, where I guess you have to start there, right?
Number of hours a day.
Right.
Go ahead, Sue.
I'm sorry, I missed.
The number of hours a day for elementary and secondary.
At least 5 for elementary and at least 6 for secondary. Right now we have a 5-hour and 50-minute day elementary and a 6.5-hour secondary. And if people will recall, it was about 5 years ago that we did have the shortest day in the school year in the state, and people kept saying we need to lengthen. So we did, because that's good for instructional time. However, now, in reviewing it, because, you know, a lot of times you don't know how things are going to work until you actually deploy it. Now that we look at it, we realize that maybe we do need to shorten the elementary day a bit. And I think there's enough interest now and enough concern that we need to look at what time we start our secondary schedule. But we have to have it at least 5 hours for elementary and 6 hours for secondary. Now, we can go longer.
One of the things I want to point out is in the 10 scenarios, and the HT printed those, and they're online, so you can look at this and you can comment on it. Those scenarios are all adjustable. So, for instance, if you see a scenario that says elementary will start at 8 a.m., that could just as easily say secondary will start at 8 a.m. Any of those scenarios could be secondary first or secondary second. It makes no difference. And that's what they're trying to do is say, here are the ways we can get the buses out and get all these people to the school on time in the amount of time we have allocated to do two trips, one for elementary and one for secondary.
If money and buses weren't a problem, you could do anything you want,
exactly,
correct?
Exactly.
But that's what people have to remember.
Well, and that's the thing for the transportation and get them there on time. And then any of the scenarios can be reversed, flip-flopped, however you want to do it.
And here's the deal with the buses. Since we do run a two-tiered system because we don't have enough money to just run all of our buses all at one time, and even if we did, apparently we can't get bus drivers, but we have to have a 45-minute gap between start time for high school and start time for elementary school in the morning. We need that much time for buses to drop off kids at school and get back out for the second tier. So that's That's the first thing that has to happen. We have to have at least that 45-minute gap in the morning, and we have to have, I believe, a 50-minute gap in the afternoon from picking kids up at on one route, dropping them off, and then getting back and picking up the second tier. So that's real important to consider, are those gaps that we have to have between the first tier and the second tier.
One of the other things I want to add, too, Mike, is you know about the delayed start on Wednesdays?
Yes.
One of the scenarios includes changing the delayed start so we eliminate that, or we put it at the end of the day, or we start the teachers before that. I mean, there's all kinds of scenarios out
there
for people to comment on.
Right. Well, you can always, I would think, find time for the teachers. But I think the most interesting part of this is you tried it for 5 years, Sue. Why didn't it work?
I'm not sure that it didn't work, Mike. I think when we first went to lengthening our day, at least in my mind, I was thinking we might lengthen everything by about a half an hour. We lengthened the elementary longer than that. And what we're finding out is that for a lot of kids in our elementary schools, the day is a little bit too long. I don't have a kid in elementary school, so I can't comment, but I do hear from a lot of parents and teachers that by the end of the day, the kids are pretty tired, and maybe if they're tired at the end of the day, they're not learning well. So we've just been taking a look at that, and certainly with all the research that we know for years and years and years about teenagers and their sleep patterns, we've had more and more people ask us to please consider a schedule where high school would start later. So I'm not necessarily saying it didn't work, but I think what we're realizing is there's a way for this to work better with some alterations.
And the alterations are going to come in every shape and size like we've seen with the calendar.
Yeah.
And again, what I want for people to understand is there are legal parameters it has to fall into, and there are occupational hazards, for lack of a better term, on how long the bus routes take and what the buses have to do. If providing transportation wasn't required, if daytime wasn't required, if all these other things weren't required, these issues could get taken care of. Now, what I want to bring up in the macro sense of things here as we're wrapping up 2015 is this going to overtake the referendum talk? Is this going to be the new – do we need to do this now? It seems like you guys got a full basket of eggs here. Which ones are you going to take to the market?
We're talking about this for the start of the school calendar in 2016. So September, August, September 2016.
So you've already done a new calendar, got that in, now a new day, and a new referendum all within a year's period.
Right.
Oof.
Yep.
Right, but, Mike, that's a really, really good point, and I think you know, in a perfect world...
In a perfect world, you need referendum money or any of this stuff is a moot point.
Right, but given my druthers or a lot of people's druthers, it might have been easier to do this school length of day conversation a year from now. We've had enough people concerned that it's really moved us to say, let's start looking at this now. So it makes it more difficult to gear up for a referendum and to staff a referendum with all the different volunteers we need, and talk about the length of day. But they're both important, so we're both going to...
I'm not saying the importance is irrelevant in this conversation.
Oh, no, I know.
It is the time frame. It is the level of attention brought. And the other part of this is, if one of these 10 things get passed, get voted on, get done with, how is that going to affect the referendum? Do you have to, well, we promised you we'd only use this, but we need 100 more buses and 100 more bus drivers, so we need a little bit more than that.
Some of the scenarios actually cause us to use less buses.
Right.
Well, you guys buying helicopters?
We won't be using this money for buses. That's not going to be the deal. I mean, we're gonna try to create efficiencies. Like Keith said, some of these scenarios, because of the times that they run or the way that they run or where they're running, can collapse some of our schedules a little bit. So we're not going to look at increasing the transportation costs because we just don't have that, and that's a totally different fund anyway. So.
Keith
Klein. One of those crazy budget things.
Keith Klein and Sue Wanzer are our guests this morning, and they check in with us Thursday to talk about education issues, and that's what we're doing today because these are important and these do affect people differently. And the one thing that maybe I can say that you can't is this can't be about your personal life. This can't be about your personal job and what's convenient or inconvenient for you. It has to be what's good for the community. And, again, you can go to the mccse.edu. I've posted it on our Facebook page, the link that takes you to where you can fill out a form and comment on anything you want to comment about. But this cannot be a you problem or the three people in your neighborhood who all run on the same circadian rhythms and carpool times. It can't be about you. It has to be what's good for the community. Who essentially, Sue, is going to determine what's best for everybody?
Well,
that's is that the superintendent? Is that the board? Okay.
No, that's why we have an elected school board. Because people can vote us in, they can vote us out. We're supposed to be the ones listening to the community, and I hope that we'll have enough wisdom and we'll listen to our staff as well as parents, as well as other research, and I know that we will do that. And so that's why this isn't going to come about quickly.
No decisions that affect that many people's lives should come quickly. I agree with that 100%.
Right. And Mike, you make a perfect point, because about, you know, if we ask all 11,000 kids in our school, they'd all have a different opinion.
Absolutely.
But one of the things about starting secondary later is we end later, and at the secondary and middle school level,
that's where all your
got a lot of
extracurricular activities, right?
Right. So that takes that even later. So that's another consideration for us. And certainly, I am not saying that athletics or extracurriculars.
No, but there's only so much daylight.
let me throw one point in here, Mike, because you deal with sports. The Fort Wayne system, the older kids get out later in the day. You know what happened in football in Fort Wayne. Two of their schools ended up in the state tournament as champions. So, you know, the sports may not be bothered as much as some people might think.
No, and that's the hardest issue for you guys to figure out is prominent people that need shifts in their schedules. I don't know if the whole school system needs to do that, just because here's who doesn't pick up the phone and call you, Sue. The people that are at work. The people that don't have time to do it, the people that are the backbone of this,
right.
you get to hear from all the people that have time on their hands that can put their feet up and theorize on what's better for everybody that really helps them. And everybody needs to be taken into consideration for this, just not those with the deepest pockets and those with the fanciest phones and cars.
And that is exactly the point, that we have so many people who don't have the time, are not able. Citizen about talking to elected officials, then those are the folks, the same folks.
Those folks need really to be protected is my point.
Mm-hmm.
Those poor, because they don't have 2 hours to put a missive on the internet because they're taking care of their kids, working or making ends meet. It shouldn't be 3 or 4% of the people making 90% of the rules, but I know that's how life is.
Right.
But again, other people need to be protected. So do you look at studies? Do you look at other school corporations that are using different times? Where does this start?
All of that.
Who's in charge of this, Keith?
This is the group with the...
So each group has an angle to look at.
And we're listening to what the people are saying. So, I mean, everyone's got a voice.
And with all the new studies and everything else about high school kids and they need this much sleep and that much sleep, there are examples in other parts of the country, the state, they've used this and you've seen results, or is this all new
and
to everybody?
And school systems have gone to later starts for the older kids, and we can see what the results have been.
And all that information will be presented at meetings coming up
the
road. Great. And if that stuff, you did a great job of putting this stuff online. Put that stuff online as well so people can see their choices, because 10 choices, Sue, my goodness.
I know, I'm almost
wondering
if there's not too many choices to sort out through everything.
Maybe we'll do it. Here's how we'll do it, because I know this is a format that everybody will pay attention to. We will have a sing-off, American Idol style, or The Voice style, where you text in your answer, and then we'll narrow down the competition and have a live show the following week to see which four presentations make it to the semifinal round. We can even get Carson Daly to come in and host if you need.
Well, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Can I get one of those chairs that turns around?
But this is serious business because it affects kids. And guess who doesn't vote for kids? Kids. They don't really have a chance. They have to go with what you experts say. And I always joke, when even in politics to a degree, when you get a bunch of 60-something-year-old white people telling everybody else how to live their lives, well, wait a second. Maybe that's not the best answer to the problem.
You know what? That's been my point all along, too. I mean, our elected officials are pretty, monochromatic, and we do have a lot of old white people making decisions for a whole lot of people. So hopefully
The experience is valid. The experience is valid. The education is valid, but you can't tell. It's not a broad stroke anymore.
And
Bloomington can't be the place for that. If there are broad strokes in Bloomington, there's no hope anywhere.
Right, and I'm one of those over 60 white people, so I'm picking on you for that.
I didn't know how old you were. I didn't want to go there. I was picking more on Keith part. But just to know, I'm picking on everybody fairly. I'm not playing favorites here. But again, I'm looking in trying to have people think about what's best for all, not what's best for one neighborhood or one group of people.
Right, and then let's break it down to what this really is about. It's about school, and it's about learning, and it's about teaching, and that's
Amen.
What we want to do.
And I want to hear from the people that were passionate 5 years ago about saying, hey, the school day is too short. We got to get our kids in school. They got to learn more. We got to do this and this. Where did they go? All their kids graduate, and all of a sudden this new generation of parents saying, hey, 5 years later, whoa, we're doing this the wrong way. I'm baffled. In 5 years, this thing goes 180 degrees. Baffled.
I'll tell you what, early in the morning, one of the first emails I got was from a parent who said, kids are in elementary school. We don't mind the longer day. We think it's really important. We support the longer day, but we know we're in the minority. So here's our thoughts. But
great.
So I would say not everybody thinks the elementary day is too long. And there you are. That's the crux of the problem. Everybody has a different idea, and everybody's points are valid.
They are, and everybody should make their point, and even those who can't should help out and find somebody who can make it for them, because I think everybody's input needs to be on here. What my input is doesn't matter, but collectively it does. And that's the point. I don't want to get lost on this. Yes, everybody sits at their table whatever day, and they're the most important. They are. So get it out there and let everybody. And then let the experts sort it out. And what you're going to get is you're going to get the best effort. Is it going to be the best result? Only time is going to tell us that. Mm-hmm. But no one's going to say, my voice didn't get heard, I got cheated, whatever else it is. So as long as you cover all the bases there, I'm fine with the process. I know the result is not going to make everybody happy. And you know what that means?
No.
It's a good result. Because if everybody was happy, somebody would be left out.
And we also have to find additional ways of seeking input, because not everyone has the capability
Amen.
The skill to get on the internet and give us some input. So we have
send
to
the form home with the kids. Do something where you can write. You can make it. You have to be inclusive. You can't be you can't be otherwise. All right, good stuff as always. Sorry about the passion. I care about this community, and if I didn't, I'd find another job.
Mike, I love it. That's why I like to be on your radio show.
Good.
Because you are so passionate.
See the looks Keith's giving me. He didn't expect this on the first day back.
Well,
I can only imagine.
Yeah, well, no, it's been great, and you're going to feel it firsthand with the daughter that's in elementary school.
Amen.
You're going to start to see it.
Amen. And my daughter needs to be in school 20 hours a day. That's the only thing that would make her happy.
Really?
Well, and you know what? I didn't even bring that part up. If you start tinkering with this or this, how does it affect teacher contracts, and how does it affect school grades, and how does it affect testing scores? I mean, there's a lot of layers to this that I don't think people just think, well, what's sleeping in an extra half hour going to do? Well, there's a little bit more to it than that.
Well, exactly. And what we know is that since we've lengthened the school day, I'm not saying there's a direct cause and effect, but since we've lengthened the school day, our achievement levels have gone up by any measurement that you want to measure, whether it's graduation rates or ISTEP scores or anything else. Now, like I said, we can't isolate that. Maybe it's also the fact that we had a new superintendent come in. Maybe it's the fact that we have different staff. But
I will. You know what?
That is one factor.
I'm going to blame it on standardized testing because it's been so efficiently done and run. That's why things are better. Standardized testing.
Well, if we took out some of that standardized testing time, we'd have more time to teach during the day, I think.
By the way,
get kids educated.
We're out of time here, but next time we've got to talk about what the president proposed yesterday on giving states rights on how they handle the education.
Yeah.
That's a huge issue that's going to come into play in Indiana.
Right, we'll talk about that, and we also have a school board meeting on Tuesday.
Yes, the final one of the year, so we'll have a busy program next Thursday. Sue, great job as always. We appreciate the input. Again, you don't have to agree with anything any of us say. You just have to hear it. There's a difference.
I agree totally.
All right, great job. Thank you.
Let me be on. Okay, bye-bye.